okay, just running lean and running mean.
Yeah.
I love that, dude. Today on the podcast, we got my good friends and big brains, Trex and Spaceman Dev, on to talk about their new venture, Cplex. Today is going to be an open and honest conversation because I'm not a genius like they are. And we're going to learn something about private placement securities. Boys, welcome.
Hi, Dirt. Thanks for having us. Yeah, really excited to kind of explain what we're trying to do. And our current, lay of the land in this area. A lot of different teams trying to give their approach and explain kind of the path we're going to be taking and the benefits therein.
Love that. Before we jump into Cplex, I want to know first kind of like what makes you guys the right people to kind of handle this securities tokenization. So, give us a little background on you both and get us up to speed.
Yeah, I think this basically revolves around the fact that we are both ex-founders in the crypto space and have felt the pressures that all founders feel when going out to raise. The community is kind of judging your project if you have a token out there. So we've been around the block and we see that there are things that could be made better. While we may not have the strongest, legal background, we certainly have the motivation to improve the space in this way.
Interesting. And then, so Dev, you're the CTO side, development spectrum.
Yep.
And Tregs, I know from prior workings with you, you're the mathematician, the statistician.
Yeah, pretty much. Like the two you see here, I'm the quants, the dev. This is how it works. And then
to be honest,
the other side of things, he's also the dreamer, and I'm more like, all right, let's bring things down to earth.
Wow, don't I feel that too? I've had prior dealings with Trags and just shoots on it. But he spits the truth, and we appreciate that.
Yeah, it makes it reality. Take the dream, make it a reality. Take the dream, make it a reality.
When you pour a beer, you can't have too much head. You got to push that off before you get to the good stuff, Just a little bit of dream and a cup of reality. Smart.
Yeah.
All right. Enough BS. Tell us about Cplex. Let's break it down from kind of a high level, and then we can kind of get into the different parts and sort of how you guys see it.
Yeah, sure. So I think we start off with just the problem that we are seeing and that we would like to kind of fix. And that's essentially like tokens. Tokens have proven to be a very powerful tool for fundraising and aligning incentives among your community and kind of just evangelizing them, getting them all on your side. And now we have this like huge group of people all invested in your success. But the other side of that is that a lot of these tokens, when released, are kind of just backed by dreams and like, okay, maybe one day it'll get incorporated to the product or like revenue will be driven to it. But ultimately, it forces founders into this position of, okay, I have released this token, and then 2-3 years down the line, I'm going to need to be a token cheerleader. I'm going to need to incorporate this into my product, or spend a lot of revenue just giving this thing value. So kind of what Cplex tries to accomplish is like the only reason why the tokens that we'd be releasing have value is purely because they have a path to being able to partake in equity proceeds. So now as a founder, you no longer have to justify why this token has value. You don't have to jab it into your product. The reason this token has value is because it has a path to equity proceeds. And that's it. Like... No more needed after that.
That's comes up third podcast in a row. Stupid simple. And like I've been sort of following and trying to understand and wrap my head around all these long words, securitization, tokenization. And what you said there just really struck a chord, because it's the thing that I always grandstand, especially lately, is like, if you don't give me equity in the product or some form of revenue share, gone are the days of useless governance tokens. Like, what are we doing? And so what you guys are saying is, here's the token. It's essentially a representation of stock. It gives you equity. And if you want to add on other layers, do it. If you want to give governance rights, do it. If you want to give some sort of flywheel, do it. But at the basic level, it is equity in the company, right?
I would certainly not use those words, but... the structure is as such that you can kind of model it like that in your head, but obviously like in reality there's quite a few legal jumps to be made and legal processes to go through in order to get to that final end goal.
I think the right way to think about it is these tokens represent a treasury that holds equity. And the reason you want to think of it that way is, it's not the token doesn't track directly with equity, and that can actually be a good thing. It means the token can have a speculative premium. The token can freely trade. It's not a direct tie into that equity, but it does have a path to equity. It represents a treasury that holds equity. And so understanding the difference there is, I think, really important.
And so this treasury, can you walk me through? Let's walk through, like, you know, I'm a company and use this as like sort of your best funnel. You know, am I a Web 2 entity? Am I a Web 3 entity? Am I Web 2? Curious about Web 3? And then talk to me about what it would mean to set up this treasury, you know, where it would exist, you know, how people get involved in the fundraising side. And like, let's walk through like what it would actually look like for Seedplex to run this.
Yeah, absolutely. So you as a founder, honestly, like our current network's in Web 3 and like Web 2.5, I would say. Okay. But the same model works for any company that is raising through SAFEs, of which basically, you know, 90, 95% of fundraisers for tech companies and growth companies are done through SAFEs at this point. So very, very compatible with that entire market. You as a founder just essentially say, okay, hey, I'm going to go to you, to Seedplex, and I'm going to give you, you know, 30, 35% of the round that I'm looking to raise. Let's say you're trying to raise $1 million. You give us $300K to raise through Seedplex. Seedplex says, okay, we're going to go to our audience. We're going to raise that $300K. And then acquire that $300K safe from you. So now Seedplex has that $300K safe, and now we create essentially a governance community. But this governance is actually much better than, you know, how we know it, around that $300K safe. And now that governance community is deciding, oh, great, cool, we have this $300K safe in our treasury. What do we do with it?
Interesting. Okay. What can be done with it? You know, is there like DeFi opportunities within that safe? Is there
not
availability?
Yeah. So safe gets escrowed by Seedplex. What the investors and the token holders are playing around with are the tokens that represent the treasury, right? Now, those tokens, because they're freely traded tokens, you can do DeFi opportunities. You can do all sorts of crazy stuff.
Interesting.
But it's not a direct one-to-one connection, and that's really important. It's the treasury that holds that equity, and then the governance of that treasury is governed by these tokens. One of the major decisions the token holders can make is, let's say an investor comes in, they want to buy up that equity. There's a liquidation event of some kind, right? You could, the governance vote, the DAO that holds the treasury can say, we want to sell all of this equity, and then all the proceeds go to token holders. And in this way, you get the upside of the company doing well without directly tying each token holder to a piece of equity, which would be a very complicated
procedure. So it's like, traditionally speaking, there's a fundraise, there's terms, like you said. Is there going to be a token warrant in the future? You don't know, but you're at the mercy of waiting for that team to do something to decide to either they're doing a merger and acquisition, they're launching a token, how long's your lockup, all of that stuff. And what Seedplex is doing is it's giving these initial investors opportunities where they can make liquid on this immediately if they wanted to. I mean, it could be at a loss and they want it out. It could be at a premium because maybe all of a sudden it was a good investment and the company's doing good. They're making money and you're going, well, I don't need to wait for this to unlock or invest. Like, I can sell to somebody else. And that's what it is. It's optionality within.
Correct. And usually when you increase the access to such investments, because right now it's very private, it's very, you know, in kind of boardrooms, you hop on the calls, you negotiate terms, and then you just kind of hold it on your balance book and hope that something happens one day. Here it's instant, you know, it's kind of what we love about tokens. I buy this token and I can instantly do stuff with it. I can borrow, lend against it. I can trade it in the Radium pools, you know? And that's kind of what we envision here. It's just, you want that experience. That's one of the most powerful things about crypto. And we would like to still enable that kind of activity.
And so you can think of it this way, like venture deals traditionally is a long-term game, right? So venture companies or ventures, the VCs, they'll take 10-year-long bets because they're looking for one or two companies to return 1,000x returned. But your average smaller size investor, your angel investors, they're okay with a 5 or 6x return, but they want a shorter time frame. And so previously, we don't have real tooling to help them get there. Here, we're saying, okay, if you're a traditional VC, you can go ahead and sit on your 10-year equity if you want. But if you're an angel investor, you also now have opportunities. Even though you may not want, you're okay with a 5 or 6x return, but you want earlier access to liquidity potentially.
That's very cool. Now, I'm going to say this, and you're going to tell me I'm not allowed, but I'm going to say it anyways. The token actually makes me think of like an options contract, because it's a representation of holding something that has like a future expiry date. Because at a certain point, those tokens inside of the treasury, or like the representation of the cash of the treasury, will do something. They'll amortize. And so people are kind of holding their representation of what the treasury is, and that may have a premium, it may not, it depends on the speculation. And it's just your representation, however much you hold, of said treasury. And that's what you're kind of shopping around in the market.
That's honestly pretty good. Especially because the way these things will function with transfer restrictions and all these other like legal things is that it is more of a like 1 to 2 year path before you are able to kind of get your hands on, you have a path to like the equity itself. But nevertheless, like you always have a path to equity proceeds. So,
I think
you described it pretty well there.
It's nice. I love the idea of also being able to, I mean, at your own risk, borrow against these assets. Haven't just locked capital up and said, well, there goes my angel investment. I'm just going to have to ride or die, see how that goes.
Yep.
Being able to take what that is, has a representation and earn on it or leverage up. And that's super cool. I really like that.
Yeah, it's just like any other token, and that we've seen all sorts of use. We've done all sorts of stuff with the tokens in our wallets.
Nice. Let's talk some timelines. Where are you guys at in development? What hurdles are right in front of you? And let's end up with when are we going to be able to see something?
Yep. So we're trying to aim for our first launch, like the first company that we'll be able to kind of buy into around 6 to 8 weeks. Right now we're building up the technology. We're executing on the legal side now that we have a pretty good idea of like how that's going to exactly work, writing up operating agreements, all that fun stuff. And then just on this podcast and to you, Dirt, as well, like if you know a founder that kind of resonates with this idea that, hey, I don't want to release just another governance token or utility token and just like jam it by protocol. I just want to build my product, increase market share, and just focus on that. And that kind of founder is what that's who we serve best. Because you say, all right, great, you're Web3, you're going to be a Web3 business. Everyone in our community is going to be like, hey, how do I get a token? How do I get exposure to you? Because I'm early and I really like what you're doing. Amazing. Like that's the type of founder that we're looking for. And if you are one of those founders, like please reach out. We'd love to talk to you about like the pros and cons of your options. But we think we provide a very compelling option here. And we hope that becomes, a new standard, so to speak, because we do believe that it is a better way to do things in crypto.
Got it. Made note of it as well. I didn't think you guys were going to be going straight to like launching the first token, and that kind of begets, and I want to get the terminology right. Do you think of yourselves as, a fundraising platform, a launch pad? Like, are you kind of looking to call it something different? How do you think about yourselves in that kind of realm?
Yeah. Venture as a service is something that I've been playing around with, or venture syndicate as a service.
Yeah, a little bit of that, but it's going like as far as the first initial product, it's a launch pad. That being said, like our the next stage after this is going after like hot private equity that exists in the world, tokenizing it and putting it through the same basically like tooling, legal tooling that we're going to have. such that it can be kind of freely open traded like this. The reason we're not starting with that is because usually this hot private equity has, you know, it's like $500 million plus companies. They're going to be like, excuse me, sir, you're a startup. You want me to do what? I don't know about that.
Let's talk about why a founder wants this, because I think that's really important. If you're a founder, this is a better fundraising vehicle for you than an equity raise and then a token raise. Why? Because like an equity raise, you can raise multiple times. So generally when you do a token launch, you do it once and then you don't have a successive instrument to do more fundraising as you grow, right? Like once you launch a token, that's kind of it. Whereas on an equity, you can do successive dilutions at a higher valuation. So now you have a fundraising tool that mirrors equity, but gives you the benefits of a token launch through that growth potential of being able to access, you know, your super fans and your community and being like, hey, you can have upside in exposure to what we're building. So it's kind of the best of both worlds. For founders, it's a really, really good opportunity as a new fundraising tool.
That's super interesting. When I was initially thinking about you guys and I was thinking about, okay, like, you know, what's competition? You know, you've got Leshner's, is it Superstate? Is that right?
Yep.
And then, you know, learning more about it and thinking about it from like the Launchpad perspective. And then I think what really kind of took it home is Trex, is you talked about like Scenplex on the cap table. And I was like, ah, oh. and then Spaceman, that's why you said like venture syndicate as a service. And then I was like, well, that it's like, you're also kind of going competing after like the Echo model from Kobe, but with a little bit more, not a little bit, like with a different functionality for the reasons, Spaceman, that you just said. And so it's very interesting and it is differentiated. And maybe for my like brain, that's kind of like, you can sort of break it down like, where do you envision yourselves in and amongst that competition? Like maybe talk to me a bit about Superstate and like what they're doing and, you know, Echo, where they are and like where you guys kind of fall in between these sort of products.
Sure. So let's start with Superstate. Very exciting stuff. Like kind of love what they're doing, bringing on equities on chain in a very, I would say, proper manner, not really going through any loopholes or SPV kind of shenanigans. What they're doing is great. However, the equity that they're tokenizing and bringing on chain, in order to do anything with it, it has to be done in a permissioned environment because there are regulations. If you want this thing to be treated as equity, it has to follow the same laws that equity today does. Even though the technology of blockchain is helping reduce friction in that space, and that's a very good step forward, it's a fully permissioned environment. And so that kind of is like, okay, cool, you've done something here, but ultimately you haven't brought on the world into this market. And it's going to be a while before you do, because I don't believe the United States is going to be like, you know what, screw it. This new technology, we're going to allow people to do whatever they want with it, do whatever they want. Our securities laws no longer matter. Like, those things are here to stay, I think. So So there's like the Superstate, and like similar with Kraken X stocks. Similar kind of thing. They push the boundaries a little bit more, but their X stocks, like for example, they function more as like a swap for the equity at some point. But if that equity, for example, issues dividends, right now they don't have a path to be able to give it to X stock holders. That would make it like very strictly a security. So you kind of have like these things that are trying to push the boundaries forward for these like public equities and bring them on chain. But ultimately, we don't get the token that we can know what to do with as like Web3 users ourselves. And then versus Echo, Echo's great. You know, really love what they've done with the space. And like, I think everyone anyone who got into Plasma round is absolutely ecstatic right now. But you invest on Echo and then you're sitting around waiting for a liquidity event. And where we really start to differentiate is that you raise on seed, you go through a Seedplex kind of launch, and token is immediately liquid. It's immediately usable in DeFi. It's immediately like you can do anything you want with it. And we also have some very cool kind of like governance over the market dynamics as a whole for these token holders, which I think like really bolsters a sense of community. We can get into that a little bit. It gets a bit deep into a lot of like game theory, which, you know, I absolutely love. But I think it just makes it so these tokens are a wonderful thing to hold.
Listen, I want the game theory. Give it to us. Get into it.
Get into it? All right. So one key thing here is that let's say that, you know, that's safe, right? We're saying we're going to take just 30% of it. It's $1 million safe. We're going to take 30% of it. $300K is going to be done. This $300K that's being raised can be thought of like as a quote-unquote community round. And so you don't want that community to be afraid of that other $700K that was raised. And so if that $700K of equity that was also raised during the same round ever wants to be like, hey, what are you guys doing with your tokens over there? It seems really interesting. I would like to have tokens instead of my like good old safe that I have on my books right now. And so what this does is that all these kind of insiders, the folks that already have deals to these massive venture deals and like hot private companies, they have to justify to the community that participated in the community round, that participated completely fairly, as to why do you want to join our playground, where we likely have probably not as much liquidity. Our holders are, you know, happy with 5-10K positions in this token. You're trying to bring in 150K position. What are you going to do for us? And so here's where you're like, okay, if I'm a VC and I like really believe in this equity and in improving, perhaps I want to enable borrow lend. Perhaps I'm just going to say, okay, I'm going to bring in my tokens. But what I'm going to do with them is I'm going to, you know, spin up a pool on Kamino, put my tokens there, and then I'm also going to provide USDC on the other side of that so people can borrow against it. Because as a VC, you know what? If people borrow against this token and it goes down and they get liquidated and I increase my position in this equity, this is great for me. That's what I want anyways. So you kind of really bolster the sense of community, and they control their own market. And all these kind of insiders and even the founders themselves, when they kind of would like to tokenize their equity, have to justify that, like, I'm going to do this, but I'm not doing it just to dump on you. I'm doing it because I would like to use this token as a way to make the product better or make holding this token better.
Very cool. Yeah, very cool. And this has been really good, because it's also helped me to understand something a little better. When I was initially thinking about Seedplex and fundraising, I was thinking, and then this is sort of like a bit of a skeptical thing. I was like, you know, how are they going to attract, you know, projects to come and launch it through them? But that's actually, it's incorrect, because you're not asking to be the sole provider of their fundraise. You're just looking to be added to the cap table. And that is not a giant ask by any means. All that is just starting, getting liquidity, having people interested, and then it starts to snowball because, oh, you know, you do the next Jito, or you get into a double zero, and then, you know, your name starts to kind of grow, your TVL starts to grow. And I think that's so much of a more enticing mountain to climb than what I had initially thought was the product, which was like being this sole provider launchpad. So that's really dope.
To that end, I want to bring up 2 points. One, that's kind of why I don't like the word launchpad. Like, yes, that's a launchpad product, but we get compared then to other launchpads, which are traditional token launchpads, right? And no shade to them, but I think the fundamental product that we're offering is slightly different. And then the second thing that I would say is, because we're just we're tokenizing safes, and we're bringing, you know, that the way we're approaching the market, we don't have to be tied to just Web3 projects, right? Like, our market is basically any kind of company that wants to do fundraising via a safe. And so our growth ideas are amongst like bringing access to those kinds of fundraisers outside of crypto, even to investors, and making them, you know, democratizing access to those fundraisers.
That's awesome. So the addressable market here, and one of the first, like, and our goal for one of the first 5 companies that we go through this process is to take something that is like pretty Web2 tech, like maybe just a pure AI company that's spinning up, that has promising potential, that's kind of a hot round. Let's bring them onto crypto and show them kind of the benefits that a token can have. I think you know as well as anyone, Dirt, like, a very strong evangelized community can take any product to heights that they can't even imagine.
God, not wrong. That's very cool.
and we understand, like, it's a lot to take in at once, but we kind of view it as the both worlds, and it's the way things should be done. And I think once you kind of do the first few, show that it's successful, show that people are enjoying this process, very quickly it's going to be the only way to get things done. And then people are going to consider, like, hold on, I have this, you know, token out in the ether. I also have my equity. Should I try to, like, transition into this new standard that's appeared? And we, you know, we have kind of ideas of how to accommodate that. So all of a sudden, like, you've shown people the better way to do things, and now everyone's going to want to be doing it the better way.
One kind of soundbite I can talk about is, you know, Michael Saylor said, take a security, offer it to people who can't get access to it. He took a decentralized asset like Bitcoin and offered it to centralized audiences. We're taking what are traditionally centralized assets like private equity and being able to offer it to decentralized audiences. So that's kind of the big idea here.
And in the process, teaching a lot of these centralized entities what is superior about our decentralized process. And what I really like about it is it's not our way or the highway. It's not absolute. It's very friendly, because by virtue of it, you know, being involved in fundraisers, you can take as little of it or as much of it. You could be the whole thing. You could be a piece of it. You could go, you know, hey, look, just give us a small piece of your cap table and let us show you what that looks like. And I think that is really powerful, because doesn't have to be a big ask. And at the basic level, it could be like Lucid Ventures or Boogles. It's like, hey, you know, give us a slice. You'll get our community. You learn what this is all about. And we're going to, like, you're going to see it go live on DeFi, and you're going to see what tokenization, like, really means, what capital markets on chain really means. And I love that. And I think, like, you know, one final sort of tough question is, like, are there still regulatory hurdles that stop you guys from the full product suite? You said 6 to 8 weeks. So clearly you guys have got some green lights to go ahead with the launch. Where are we at it in that realm?
Yeah, I mean, always, like, regulations are a concern and, like, top of mind for us. I will also say with the administration kind of hinting that they're going to release a brand new framework of, like, how tokens will work and, like, what kind of promises a token raise can make, and, okay, here's how security raises can what they'll be able to do. So always top of mind. I think, so right now, like, all this whole process, so much of it involves governance and voting. And so this kind of can sometimes slow us down. We kind of saw an example of this in with a Mountain Cap experience with Futarchy, where Mountain Cap had, like, a lot of deal flow, had a lot of opportunities to even just take, you know, things that would make them 10%, 11% year on the treasury, but they were unable to, because you have to gather this whole community, get them in agreement as to, like, why this will increase the value, all that sort of stuff. So as far as, like, the full product suite, it'd be very cool for, you know, there to be a representative of this token holders and have that person be entrenched with certain powers to make things flow faster. So that's kind of, if we could make that happen, amazing. Right now, we're taking the most conservative approach and adding as much decentralization. We barely have any control over anything. Once we kind of get the process started, it's token holders that are deciding their fate. But that kind of decentralized governance can sometimes be a little too slow, especially in the fast moving world of the markets. So if we're looking at, like, an evolution, it's in that area, and we're gonna be looking for ways to make that better. Obviously, once these products go live, we'll be getting a lot of data with respect to, okay, here's the pain points of the users when using it, and we'll try to address those as best we can.
Love it. Love it. All right, final question. Fun one. When do I get to see Seedplex branding, website, socials? When do I get a hold on to it?
I think we're going to be ramping that up a lot, and then, like, probably in 2 weeks, and then moving forward from there. We're going to be making a lot of noise. Really appreciate, you know, taking the time to speak with us today, Dirt. Our first little foray out into the internet and socials. But we're going to be doing a lot more of that. You know, I think we have a very cool message that, hey, we have a better way of doing things. It's going to be easy to use. It's compatible with the way you are already doing things. And we just need people to hear it, understand it, and realize, like, okay, yeah, let's give this a try. Because it's looking very promising.
I love that. I love that. And as an angel investor, I feel so much better informed on what it is you guys are going after, what you're looking for. And I think it's a breath of fresh air, the simplicity. The product simplicity is great. Maybe what's behind the scenes isn't so simple, but as a user,
right,
that
like,
doesn't
it's
bother
a, it's
me.
A simple, it's
that's
a,
your
yeah,
problem.
It's a simple idea.
Yeah. Let me tell you, behind the scenes, it's been a journey for sure. Like 3 steps forward, 4 steps back, and then 5 steps forward, and 2 steps back. But ultimately, we arrive at this very simple solution that we believe it is just strictly better. I do want to touch upon a little bit of the technological side and where we envision the technology to evolve. You asked me about the legal, but I think the technology evolution that we're looking into is very interesting, and I think I'll let Dev take this away.
Yeah. So one of the feedback that we got as we were pitching this idea is that, yeah, okay, retail investors or, angel investors might be okay with public positions. But when you start getting into institutional money, one of their biggest hurdles with touching positions on chain is they don't want their P&L public. Right, you're putting $1 million in a company. You don't want everyone to know that you've put $1 million in that company or where what your positions are. And so one of the things that we're working on is actually building all of this inside of Archeum or building inside of multi-party compute. And what that enables us to do is have hidden positions, allows us to do the fundraising such that a company, a VC firm can come in, put in a large position, and keep that as a hidden position so it's not public to everyone. And that's a really important feature set that we're seeing, we're getting asked for by those bigger institutional money. And so if we can enable this tooling to not just be for angel and retail investors, but actually open this up for institutional money, that's when you start seeing those massive inflows.
That's really interesting. Yeah, that's super cool. I like that. I'm just in my mind thinking about, like, I am not an institutional investor, but I do value privacy.
But you would love to be sell to institutional investors.
Also, you might be an institutional investor one day, Dirt. Don't sell yourself short. You're going to have these concerns soon, my man.
Yeah. and so, like, you might not be an institutional investor, right? But, like, the fact that institutional money can come in and play in the same pool as you now gives your pool more liquidity overall.
Totally agree. Yeah, I totally agree. Privacy has always been one of the bigger parts of kind of crypto, and there's been a lot of like headaches and journeys towards. Like, that's a whole other part of the regulatory perspective. But I think it certainly has its place, especially if on the back end, you can show. And on the back end, an institutional provider doesn't care about, dotting the I's and crossing the T's. He's going to do it anyways. It's not about hiding it from regulatory authority. So like, that's completely fine. It's about hiding their positions from their competitors and et cetera, et cetera. Not getting caught riding the pink bicycle type deal. But I think that is a good place to leave it as a future conversation post-launch. Once we see people using the product, we can get into talk about how it's going with Archeum and maybe some pivots and lessons learned.
Absolutely. Everything's done step by step, but we're very excited about the future and really about the change that this can bring about in the space. Like, Dev's been in crypto since like 2013, if I believe correctly. I've been since about 2016. And what I've seen is essentially you have these amazing founders, but they're kind of forced to churn through projects every 2-3 years because of the current token model. If you're 2-3 years into the token, like, company life cycle of a Web3 company that's released a token, your incentives as a founder are not to keep working or to try to gain dominance after those 2-3 years, especially with such a cyclical market that exists. Your incentive is to be like, well, I could continue working on this old token that no one cares about, the chart looks like absolute crap, or I could launch a new project and try my hand there. So crypto as a space just gets to kind of innovate with all this kind of exciting technology that we see the benefits of, with companies that are only able to work on problems for 2-3 years. That the Web 2 world has managed, and the kind of like the venture world has managed to change the world with companies like Uber and Airbnb that now change like how, you know, you and I travel, how we book places wherever we go. But it takes 10, 15, 20 years in order to bring about that change. And if we want the same in crypto, we need something better. And we believe that we provide that. We allow companies to become dominant. We allow them to become, you know, the near monopolies. And I don't know about you, but like, I think near monopolies in a section of business is immensely profitable. So we're no longer excited about a company reaching $5 billion valuation. We're going to be seeing crypto companies through this new model be enabled to shoot for those 50, 100 billion, you know, kind of valuations, all while still involving the community from very early stages.
Very cool. We like lofty goals. We like break duopoly style statements, and super excited to see where you guys go with it. Before we end it, we're going to be launching this in a couple weeks. Where can the people find you on Twitter, and what will be Seedplex's user name?
Sure. So on Twitter, we're seedplex_io. You can find us there, just getting those socials started. You can find me, Tregs6, on Twitter.
SpaceMindDev.
And yeah, website, all this stuff going to be going up. Again, seedplex.io. You can keep up to date there. Feel free to reach out to either of us at any time. We're very excited and can talk about this topic for hours on end. And if you're a founder out there looking to explore a better alternative, by all means, please reach out. We'd love to see, you know, get your feedback, and also may perhaps help you a lot along this journey.
Well, you heard the man. Gentlemen, thanks for coming on the podcast.
Thanks so much, Durst.
Running lean and running mean. Yeah. I love that, dude. Yeah.